is, you know, talks about from life to death ministry, where it talks about being crucified with Christ, that we, you know, that we're dead in Christ, but then we live, Christ lives through us. And man, that's what he talks about a lot. And so I want us to be ready, you know, when he comes. So be in prayer about that. You know, that'd be a matter of prayer every day between now and then. You know, we're coming up on, of course, it's a week away from Easter week when we celebrate the Easter week. And in the chronological order of things in the Bible, you know, we're like Palm Sunday. That's what we call Palm Sunday. We're looking about a week ahead of the arrest and the crucifixion and all of Jesus. And man, there's so many things that did kind of sneak up on me this year. There's a lot of places that you can go. There's a lot of stories, boy, in that week right there with all the things that went on with Jesus and his disciples and Jesus with the crowd. But I just chose this one. I believe I've used it before and I like it a lot. In Mark chapter 10, verse 46, the Bible says there, "And they came to Jericho, and as they went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." The title of the message is "Thy Way or the Way," and I'll talk to you about that in here just a few minutes about that title. As I said, Jesus on his way to Jerusalem about a week before his crucifixion. The Bible says that he comes into Jericho. You know, a lot of people, there's nitpickers out there, if you don't know this already, nitpickers about the Bible, and they'll go, well, you know, in the Old Testament, when the Israelites first came over the Jordan River, they came to Jericho, and Jericho, you know, they marched around the city once a day for 7 days and seven times on one day, and they blew the trumpet and the walls fell down, the city was destroyed. That's true. This Jericho was built by Herod the Great. It's about a mile away from the original site of the other city, Jericho. So there was a new one, and we see it in the New Testament and some other texts as well. And so there was this Jericho there, and Jesus by now in his ministry was starting to attract large crowds. A lot of words about Jesus had gotten out. He had, you know, they knew about him healing the sick and several things, even raised the dead. He had done that. And so word of that had spread about his fame, things that he had done. A lot of discussion about who exactly he was, what he was. People had different opinions about it. He's called a prophet. I think in one, there's three gospel accounts that tell this story. This is one of them. And in one of the other two, it said that a prophet of Nazareth. Some thought he was a prophet, but not only a prophet. It was a lot more. But who he was, what he was, and different opinions about him, you know, kind of like today. A lot of things haven't changed along that line as well. And but he'd heard about healings and things like that. And so one of the other accounts tells us that there was two blind beggars that in this section right here in this story, but in this one it just says this one man named Bartimaeus. Apparently he was the more vocal of the two, and we have his name, and he probably, or we're assuming that he had heard some things about Jesus, and he probably had heard about lame being healed and other blind people being healed, and even raising the dead, Lazarus, and those stories. He heard those things, but I think also that Bartimaeus believed something deeper than that about Jesus, and I'll show you why here in just a second. But as we know, as he hears that he's coming along, and you know, people that are blind, man, they got their hearing is like in tune. I mean, man, they can hear like a big conversation of crowd noise, and you may be way in the back talking, and if they single you out, they can pick you off talking because their hearing is better. And he heard, and he heard that, and he cries out to Jesus. He says, "Thou Son of David." Now, this is why I think he had a little bit deeper faith than just in healing or a little bit more of a concept of who Jesus probably was. That was a recognized title of the Messiah King, Thou Son of David. And he believed Jesus to be the Messiah. And I believe that here was an ironic twist there because of the context of the story, that a lot of the seeing crowd that could physically see didn't know that. But here was Bartimaeus, who was blind physically, but spiritually something in his mind he knew, and he had probably heard. He was a Jew. I mean, he had heard the Old Testament, the scriptures being read in the synagogues and things. He'd heard that, and so I believe he saw just a little bit deeper. Didn't know what we know now, but he knew some things right there. And the crowd tried to get him to be quiet. He was crying out really loud. I mean, I believe if you were blind and you thought that somebody could heal you, that would be a desperate state, and there was somebody getting close to you, and you were a little bit limited as to your ability to get to him, that you would cry out in desperation. You would be pretty loud, pretty vocal if that was your chance. He'd been blind probably his whole life, so number of years, nobody been able to do anything about it. Nobody could help him along the way. And so here he was, he's blind, and so here's a shot, right? Your one shot in the dark. Boy, you can scream your head off if you think you can get somebody's attention. And the crowd, they tried to silence him. We speculate as to why, maybe just because they wanted Jesus to continue on his path, whatever that was in their mind, that he would continue on, he wouldn't slow him down, or perhaps they didn't like the title that he used. There was when he gets a little farther along, when they start into Bethany, I think it is, there were people crying out, and they started using titles for him, and they didn't like it. They tried to silence him, and Jesus said about that time, he said, listen, if they would hold their peace, these rocks would cry out. These rocks, the rocks, creation, man, would cry out. And so he didn't rebuke Bartimaeus for using that title. And so maybe that was one of the reasons that they tried to silence him. But whatever it was, it doesn't matter. It's not a main point, just a thought. But whatever it was, it caught Jesus' attention. It caught his attention. And, you know, he said back in the text, it says, Jesus, in verse 49, Jesus stood still. Jesus stood still. Let me tell you something. Faith always gets the attention of Jesus. Huh? When somebody's got faith, that always gets his attention. And it said that he stopped him. Remember, there was crowds of people there. Crowds of people. And you know, listen, there's something that we know, especially being in church life, that there's no lack of problems in people's lives. Man, listen, there's problems stacked up miles high of people that have problems. I'll guarantee you, we already know there was another blind man there, and I believe that there was other people that had a lot of physical problems. There was a whole pile of them that had a spiritual problem, the same spiritual problem. There was people stacked up with problems, but only one person at this particular moment in that crowd got Jesus to stop and caught his attention, and it was because that he had faith, and it always gets the mind of God. And I'll tell you something about that. And here's another thing that caught my mind. And I look at the Bible, I look at a lot of little small things that I see, and I think about that. It says in our text that Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. You know, I thought about that. Jesus knew he was blind. You would have thought that you over there and blind and can't see good and need help getting around pretty well, you would have thought just naturally that Jesus would have went to him. He's blind. I mean, you know, in our sphere of natural thinking, we would have thought, well, that would have been the thing to do. If you were over there blind, I would be more apt to come to you than say, hey, buddy, come on over here. and stumble around and come. But he called to him. And then I thought about that deeper. Of course, I know Jesus how he is. I mean, I know his heart. You know, I know what he is. And I know that's not, you know, he wasn't being mean. And he wasn't being compassionate. He wasn't inconsiderate. I already know all those things, so I got to look at it another way. You know, it's just what the first things that come up. And I thought about that, and I said, you know, one thing that shows us right here, that there is no obstacle that will keep you from coming to Jesus. There's no obstacle. I mean, you can come. You know what? I heard this one time, and it's true. Listen, a lot of people think, well, you know, I just can't believe. Yes, you can. Now, this goes along with faith. There's no reason that you can't believe. People don't become stay lost because they cannot believe. They will not. They just won't. They won't exercise faith. There's no obstacle. He can come. And you know, the thing with Jesus, I'm going to tell you about Jesus and his life, and I kind of see this and probably the way a lot of it should be. And Jesus didn't spend a lot of time with somebody that wasn't interested in him. He didn't spend a lot of time. Now, somebody just didn't flat out know. I thought the woman at the well, you know, he had a pretty long discourse with her when he was going through Samaria. And he talked with her about some things along the way. But he was only going through Samaria one time. He was on, you know, he was on his way here eventually, but he was going through. He said, I must needs go through Samaria. All right, he went there. All right, listen, Jesus was passing by. He was going through this Jericho for the last time. On his way to Jerusalem for the last time in his humanity before he was going to go to the cross. Listen, he didn't spend a lot of time begging and pulling and going, you know, trying to get people to be saved. I mean, he'd talk to you. And I, you know what? And the apostles, you see that too. You don't have any stories in the Bible where, man, they went to so-and-so's house 15 times trying to get that guy saved. He gave him the word, you know. And I think that's it, man. Listen, if people got questions, they want to know about the Lord. They don't understand. They're sincere. I'll go as many times as I think I have to go. But, man, if somebody's not interested, I want to talk to them about the Lord. And if, you know, they get it and they understand it and they don't do anything with it, man, I'm moving on to the next person, man. Somebody that needs to know, wants to know, has a desire. Jesus did the same thing. Man, he wasn't begging people to follow him. Matter of fact, if you study Jesus' life, a lot of things he told them, you would have thought he was trying to push them all. Hey, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. Well, wait, are you trying to build a church here or are you trying to run people off? That's not the way we do it, right? That's not the way we do it. And it said in verse 50, the Jesus stood still. He commanded the blind man, saying, be of good comfort, rise, he called for thee. The other people told him that, the ones that were telling him to be quiet a few minutes ago. And it says, and he, in verse 50, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. They had different kind of clothes than we had. And they had those robes and things and they had some, you know, top coat and different types of things. And he had some kind of a garment there that they would lay out on the ground or hold it in their lap usually. A blind man would hold it in his lap. He could feel if somebody dropped any money in to help him along the way. And he had this garment, this extra garment. And it says that he cast away that garment and he came to Jesus. And there's a couple speculations as to why. Number one thing, and in those days, some of the clothes you read in the Bible about when they got ready to do some work, when Jesus was stooping down to wash the disciples' feet, it said that he tied up those longer garments. They tie them up. They're going to do some work. They tie them things up. So why? So he wouldn't trip on them. So here's this guy, and this is a great way to look at it. He cast away, he's coming to Jesus, he cast away this garment, and it's representative of anything that would have caused him to stumble or trip. Anything that would, let me word it this way, would have hindered him from coming to Jesus. Huh? Listen, think about our life. What hinders you? What hinders you from coming to Jesus if you're not saved? There's a lot of things in life. I mean, I'd be here all day if I talked about it, but I'm just saying there's sometimes it's just a mental thing. Well, you know, what about this, man? I got all these problems in my life and they're too great for Jesus. That's what you're basically saying, which they're not. But you think that. I can't come to Jesus like this. I've got to clean my own self up. I've got to get everything, and then I'm going to come to Jesus. That would be like saying, well, when I get done having a heart attack, I'm going to call 911, you know. You call 911 while you're having the heart attack, not when you get over it, right? And so, I mean, there's just so many things that keep people. Really, it's excuses a lot of times. It's not really reasons. But, you know, what he did, he cast anything away, anything that was going to hinder him from coming to Jesus. Listen, even as Christians, even after we're saved, sometimes we've got things in the way. We got things hindering us from serving Jesus. We got a million excuses. Why? Well, you know, preacher, I would serve and I'd do this and I'd do that, but here's all the reasons why I can't do it. All these excuses that we piled up. Listen, cast them away. Here's a blind man got more sense than us a lot of times in this same area. You know, here's the thing about it. When we're desperate enough, desperate people don't keep anything from keeping them from Jesus, coming to Jesus. I mean anything. Listen, and in the world, we're, you know, there's so many things in the world. I see things, read things. Listen, there's all kind of humanistic things out there. People want help in this area, help in that area, help me here. Listen, most of what we do, it nothing but a Band-Aid. I'm going to tell you what, when you want the cure, man, you just get to the, you know, get to Jesus, man. Get to the creator, not the creation. You know, we can't do anything for anybody, and there's just desperate people. You know, the crowd, this guy had ready-made excuses, man, for crying out loud. Number one, he's blind, but he wanted to get to Jesus. Huh? He could have said, I'm blind, and there's a whole crowd of people. You know how often the crowd keeps us from coming to Jesus? Oh, well, you know, preacher, man, I was going to serve, but my family did this, and my family came up, and at the last minute, we were going out the door, and then somebody just showed up on my porch. You know, hey, bring them with you, man, or tell them to wait here till I get back. I mean, you know, whatever. I mean, there's so many things. It's the crowd, what people think. We always, all, you know, today, like, because of our human nature and because of our selfish selves, you know, we ain't letting nobody tell us what to do. And that's the biggest lie that there ever was, man. We're so worried about other people's opinions on things. You know, we dictate, other people's opinions dictate so much about, you know what, I was so happy that y'all clapped when Kim got done singing, because, you know, sometimes people, well, I was just going to raise my hand, preacher, but I didn't know what other people would think. Who gives a hoot? You know, who gives a hoot? We all think you're crazy anyway. I mean, what? Yeah, we already got an opinion about you anyway, and it's probably not good. So, I mean, I'm just kidding. But I'm saying, who cares? You know, who cares what other people think? Man, I was going to think about this. Wouldn't this be the stupidest thing? How many of you ever done something stupid in your life? Just go ahead. I'm saying, raise your hand. I'm like, big it up there. I mean, God knows, right? The stupidest thing that you could ever do. Would say, you know what, I was going to go down there and get saved. Preacher preached a message, and I got convicted one time. I was going to go down there and get saved, but I was worried about what all them people thought. Can you imagine being in eternity, in hell for eternity, because you didn't get saved, because you was worried about what somebody think about you coming down the altar and get saved? Does it happen? All the time. All the time. All the time, I've had people tell me that later on when they got saved, and I believe there's people that have gone on to hell because of that. And think about that. You think about it. Who cares? And when you get there, you're not going to care. You get on your death day, you're not going to care what everybody thought about whether you was going down the altar or not to get saved. Let me tell you, and that's a lie right out of hell. Let me tell you, how many of you in here are going to have a bad opinion of somebody that comes down here and gets saved? Huh? Oh, we just can't wait. We're going to make fun of them, right? No, that's not true. That's a lie. Satan's sitting there putting that in your head. Listen, man, there ain't nothing more exciting at all in the world today than for Christians to see somebody get saved, man. I mean, what a blessing that is. He had the crowd, buddy. He had that garment in his hand that he cast that away, and he had blindness. Man, he got better excuses than anybody that's sitting in here. He's got all kind of excuses right there, but he said, you know what, man, I'm throwing the garment away. I can see him now, man. I believe the crowd was just making a way, man. He got right there to Jesus. Huh? Blind people can, they use sound to get around. They can tell if somebody's close to them and they can tell it. They can tell it, man. He got himself right to Jesus, and I believe God's involved in that deal right there. He didn't have any issues right there. And Jesus asked him this question. He said, well, what do you want? Now, Jesus knew. He knew. Why did he ask Jesus? He wanted Bartimaeus to articulate his need. See, it's like us like this. We pray, right? But does God already know our mind and heart? So he already know what we're going to pray before we pray it. So we could just sit around and say, well, ain't no need praying. Jesus already knows. Or how about you married or lovely, you got your boyfriend, girlfriend? Do you know that your wife loves you? Do you know that your husband love you? But don't you think they like to hear it every now and then? Huh? Huh? Don't you think that they like to hear it every now and then?
I don't know. I ain't never told her. <You know?
laughs> Try it. Huh? Try it. But, you know, he wants them to articulate that. He wants them to say his need. Listen, going along with coming to Jesus. And years ago, I started, when I do communion, y'all been here on Christmas Eve, we usually have communion, and probably should have had it today. But I always make you guys come up here and get it. Y'all know that? And the reason, this is the reason why. It's like that. If you can't walk, we'll get it to you. But I want you to make it a conscience. Get up out of your seat. Come down, if you're able, and the same way. I want you to state it. This is what I want to make it so easy, man. Somebody just dumps off a little thing in your lap and there's no effort or whatever on our part. I think I just was convicted about that a long time ago. That's the way I do it. And we see Jesus ask him to come. Jesus wants us to articulate our need. We pray. What do you want? I tell people all the time. We get so caught up. I just don't know how to pray. Listen, you probably shouldn't pray like anybody you ever heard praying. Because most of the time, people that you hear praying are not praying to God, they're praying to you. They're praying so they'll sound good. And I got to admit, I don't want to sound like a moron when I'm praying. You know, I don't want to say something stupid I like it to be together, right? I mean, you want to be good. But I want to be praying to God. I don't want to have to be praying to impress you. And probably haven't. You succeeded. But you know what I'm saying? So a lot of times, listen, people say, well, you know, preacher, I'm afraid to witness to somebody. Well, tell God that. That's what he wants you to say. God, I'm just a chicken, you know? Huh? Yeah. Well, tell him. You know what? Say, Lord, you know what? God convicts me of things. You know what? I say, I don't think we love God as much as we could, like we should. Not worry. I tell God that. God, I don't love you like I could. I want to, you know? Huh? You know, help me. Help me love you more. Help me love my neighbors more. Help me, you know, and I pray to God. I mean, I just start telling God, tell God what it is. Say what? You know what, God? I'm afraid to pray. Tell God that. Tell him. Just tell him what do you want? What is your need? Just tell him. Just plain day, tell him. You don't have to have a big old bunch of words that we got to get a thesaurus out to figure out what it means. Just tell him what you want to say. You know, what your need is. And then Bartimaeus, he replied, let me see, he cast away his garment, and Jesus answered him, what wilt thou that I should do to thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord. Now that word Lord right there is the word translated from the word Rabboni. And Rabboni means my Lord, my master. Can mean it that way. And there's only one other person in the Gospels to use that same word. And it was Mary on the resurrection morning when Jesus called her name. She turned and looked and she said, Rabboni. Only one other place. That's why I believe this guy had more outward faith in who Jesus actually was than a lot of the other people that were standing around. It was an expression of personal faith. Jesus said, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now listen to me. Faith derives its value not from the one who expresses it, but from the object in which it rests. Faith was the necessary means, not the efficient cause of his healing. The Bible tells us that it's impossible without faith. It's impossible to please God. Amen. Without faith. It's a necessary means. We are saved by grace through faith. You have to have faith. Having faith is expressed outwardly. You have to exercise faith. Let me put it that way. That's really having it. If you don't have it, exercise it. You had faith. Now, the gist of what I want to talk about, it's got 2 points, and they're shorter, so I know you think, man, good night, you're just now getting to point one. Jesus said in verse 52, just jumped out off the page at me. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Notice he said, go thy way, That faith made him whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Jesus said, go thy way, but he followed Jesus in the way. And that just like, I jumped off there and I was looking at that. I said, man, there's something going on. There's something going on right here. And that's what I want to talk to you about real quick. The Gospel of Mark emphasizes the word way. You see the word way or road or highway. And we think about thy way. What was Bartimaeus's way before this day? What was his way? Listen, man, they didn't have social services of any kind in those days. He wasn't going to get a stimulus check in the mail. In other words, to get him over the hump, you know, there wasn't Social Security. There wasn't anything. You know, you begged. You were at the mercy of people, and apparently people helped him out, you know, along the way. He never got to this point in his life. But what was his day? What is thy way? And I want you to think about it this way, your way. What is thy way, your way? What is your way? Day-to-day routine of life. He sat at the gate. I don't know if he could get down there. He'd gone enough and how far he came. Sometimes he could walk along, feeling along, listening along, get there. Maybe somebody help him. He got to the way. He sat at the gate and he begged. I'm blind and begging for alms and at the mercy of somebody helping him, giving up money to get a little bit of bread and whatever he needed for the day. Probably needed some help. He probably needed help somewhere along life if he had to go a different place or something. He was in darkness, certainly physically and spiritually too. He was in darkness. And as I said a few minutes ago, we end up depending on people that can't cure the problem. They can only be like a Band-Aid to the problem, which is what everything else in the world is like. And there's, you know, there's a lot of people like who came to see Jesus in that crowd. They came out to see Jesus along the way, on his way to the cross. They came to see him. And the crowd in our text, when we see them, like I say, when they entered into Bethany, they were a little bit later. It was when Zacchaeus, you know the story about Zacchaeus and the tree? And Jesus passed through that way, thy way. He passed through their way and he went his way. And we think about this in your life. You know, what is your routine of life like? Are you in your way, you know, or whatever we determine the self way, if we want to put it that way. And a lot of people listen. All these crowd, they come down there, they see Jesus. Look, there he is. I pointed out a while ago, he stopped there. He stopped with Zacchaeus. He stopped with Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus cried out. He exercised faith. He cried out, had the right name for him and everything. There's a lot of people that come to churches. I could say this anywhere, and it'll be right here too. There's a lot of people that come to churches along the way and they listen to what we're talking about. We're singing the songs and we preach in the Word of God and maybe, you know, clap about that and we get excited about it. Just like the cheering crowds when Jesus entered Jericho and Bethany and later on Jerusalem. Just like those same crowds. But when the church is over, let me ask you this. Do you go your way or his way, the way? That's the question. See, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many preaching things, services you hear. It doesn't matter. You can quote the Bible. Satan can quote it better than us. Probably not miss a word if he didn't want to. It doesn't matter what we know in our head. It doesn't matter what we hear. It's good. Listen, it's good to be here. It's good to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Don't get me wrong. But listen, what happens after you leave this room? You're going to go thy way? Or in the way. Huh? Man, listen, he done got rid of something in his life. He done cast his garment away. Okay? He wasn't going back to that life. I'm probably ahead of myself on that point. We go out of here, no change in our life. No nothing. His whole life changed from that day forward. His whole life. Actually had to go get a job. He cast that garment away, as I said before. He cast it away. No hindrances, like I said before. But also, he wasn't going back to the old way of life. He's done begging. He's done begging. Man, he's on his feet. Listen, there's some things in our life. We're going to go in the way that we need to cast away. I'm going to tell you, my life's a whole lot different than it was before I got saved. I mean, there's a lot of stuff got cast away when I got saved. Out of my life, it had to happen. It needed to happen. Cast it away. Not the same. Didn't need all the crutches. Huh? And today, listen, I don't need dope. I don't need booze. Huh? I don't need it. I don't need that to make it. Help me get through. If I could just get through. Huh? I don't need no stinking cigarettes. I don't need nothing else, something to occupy my mind to keep me from going crazy. Oh, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't make it. I knew people in the ministry, man, that was, if it wasn't for the thing that they were doing, they probably wouldn't have been in church. I played music with a guy I sang in a group, and one of the men's wives said, "Boy, I just don't know what would happen. Boy, this music group's just so good. I just don't know what would happen if it hadn't been for this. I just don't know. My husband, he probably wouldn't even be in church." That's a pitiful thing to say. If it wasn't for your music, you wouldn't be in church. I'm here because of Jesus. Huh? That's it, man. I mean, that's it. You think I'd hang around with y'all if it wasn't for him? No, I'm just kidding. Huh? I'm here because of him. Huh? That's what it's all about. That's not what's keeping me here. Listen, he wasn't going back to the old way of life. And I don't believe anybody who's really saved does either. I ain't saying you won't have a little stumble every now and then. I'm not saying you don't have a little step back in that, but 20 years out of God's will, 20 years out of church, 20 years not reading your Bible, and you're telling me you're saved, you're fooling, you're lying to yourself. You're lying to yourself that that's the truth. Listen, man, I know people that think you can lose your salvation. You know why they think you can lose your salvation? Because they know somebody that got in church, man, they got all fired up for God, dressed herself up, had their Bible under their hand, had their white shirt and tie, cut their hair off, man, they look good, and they came into church, boy, and they ran along for a little while. 6 months, a year, 2-3 years. And then the next thing you know, they seen them. They right back out in the world right there. I'm going to tell you what, they never got saved. Huh? Not. I'm talking about they're out in the world for years. Huh? And I know people like that, related to some of them. They never got saved in the first place. Ain't no way in the world they got that. God would kill them before they let that testimony go down the drain. We got thy way and then the way. John 14:6 said, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man come to the Father but by me. I am the way. And immediately it says that Bartimaeus followed Jesus in the way. Jesus told him, there's a couple other places in the Bible, I looked them up, where Jesus said, listen, don't tell anybody, or you know, you go back home and all that. And they said, no, man, we want to be with you. Huh? They were right there. Man, I mean, he said, he followed Jesus in the way. The whatever the way Jesus was going. You know, let me tell you what the way Jesus was going? Jesus was going to the cross. Huh? He's the way to eternal life. He's the way to heaven. He's the way into the presence of the Father. He's the way through the difficulties of life. People try a lot of other ways, but they fail. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. See, everybody that's living their life without Jesus Christ, apart from Christ, thinks they're living the right way, a way that seems right. They think that's the right way. He said, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The Bible talks about the broad way, and it says, many there be that go in thereat. And then he talks about that narrow way and few that find it. Hey, Bartimaeus followed Jesus in the way. I don't know about you, man. If you had a guy, if Jesus had healed me from blindness, I would be right. I'd be, every time he stopped, I'd be running into the back of him, running into the back of him. Huh? I mean, I'm going to stay right with him. Old Lazarus come out of that grave after he'd been dead. Now, you know, I don't know what Lazarus saw. He probably saw some things and wished Jesus just left him dead. But he come out of the grave after he'd been dead. I'm going to tell you what, I'd be right there with him everywhere I went. Figure if anybody killed me, he'd just raise me back up. Huh? Stayed right with him the whole way. Listen, Bartimaeus went the way Jesus went. Huh? Jesus was on the road to Calvary. It was on the way of the cross. And the Bible talks about us as believers that we share in his suffering. We share in his crucifixion and we share in his resurrection. And you can't get to the resurrection until you get to the cross. You got to be crucified before you can be resurrected and have another life. And so we share in those things with Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Huh? Oh, man, this is where the crowd thins out right there. Huh? I can see it now. You get a bunch of people like this together and you say, listen, Jesus said you got to take up your cross and follow me. Huh? Remember that rich man? And that rich man, he said, what do I got to do to have eternal life? He couldn't gain it. Ron. All right, let's have a prayer. Let's pray real quick here. Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask you to be with Rhonda. Lord, give her what she needs, Lord. Lord, help Kyle there as he helps her along. Lord, and just have the rescue squad get here in a timely manner. Lord, so it's of utmost importance now. We need a touch. Lord, we trust you for it here in Jesus' name. Amen. She got real hot. I was knocking them out this morning. You okay, Rhonda, now? Feeling better? She got woozy headed? All right, well, Kyle's a man. He's an EMT, so he's on. Okay. Well, I'm almost done. Make sure she's all right. Yeah, that'll happen sometimes, and Rhonda's had some chemo and things, and so you get woozy-headed and got overheated. Anyway, I'll get done with this, and we'll have invitation. As I said, this is when the crowd will thin out. So the question is, you know, which way are you in? You in the way, or thy way, your own way, or the way? That was the last healing miracle in Mark. Jesus passed by for the last time on his way to the cross. It may have been Bartimaeus' last chance, his only chance to come to Jesus. The Lord's going to come back anytime, I believe. We don't have a guarantee on taking another breath. May be your last chance to come and only chance to come to Jesus. Today may be yours. Randy, where are you at, brother? Come on up. We'll all stand up and have an invitation. If you need to come to the Lord, if you need to be saved, listen, Rhonda's going to be all right. Worry about your soul. If you need to be saved, you come forward.
Hey, my invitation is going to be the old rugged cross.